Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, live in Miami today. Titans will take on the Dolphins later on tonight. And someone that'll be a part of our pregame show, as he always is, forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders is on the line with us. And we'll get into some football with Chris here in a few minutes. But getting the news yesterday and just the really tough news that your former teammate and our pal, Frank Wycheck, passing away at the age of 52. And, you know, Frankie, I like, first time I ever met him and really got to know him, you know, he looked at me and he said, you know, call me Frankie. That's what my friends call me. I always thought that was just the coolest thing, that here's a guy that, you know, I grew up watching play football, and now here I am interacting with him. But you played with him. You knew him very well. Just your thoughts on losing number 89 way too soon.
You know, it's tough because, you know, Eddie George did an interview yesterday, and I was kind of listening to him, and he said this. He said, we got to quit giving flowers to people when they're dead as opposed to giving them to them when they're alive. And then it took me back to the same situation with Steve McNair and Josh Evans, to where a lot of times we go on with our lives, we do what we need to do, but we never stop and check on them to see how they're doing. You know, I just talked to I got a friend that has a son that's married to his daughter. And, you know, he was just kind of talking to me and telling me about the situation and, you know, just listening to what was going on. He said he left two daughters behind and he has three grandkids. And the one thing that really stuck out to me that he said that Frank Wycheck was in a good spot. And I thought about that to where I never checked on him to see if he was in a good spot. So I'm kind of struggling with that today. I know we say this all the time, but, you know, we got to do better. I got to do better not just celebrating them when they pass away, but celebrating them while they're alive. And that's kind of what I'm struggling with a little bit today, because I just really cared about him. Not just really cared about the football player. I just focused on him being my teammate as opposed to him being my brother outside of that. So that's what's hard for me right now.
What do you remember? I know John McClain tweeted that the Oilers and the Redskins had practiced together, and Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese were, you know, impressed watching Frank when he was with Washington, and when he became available, they jumped on him. So what do you remember when Frank first joined the team and what you were able to learn about him?
You know, I learned a lot from Frank. He was very reliable, and I watched him run routes, because I remember when he, just like you said, when because actually he got cut from Washington to come to the Tennessee Titans that year. We came at the same year we was in Houston, and I just watched how he approached things. I mean, his teammates loved him. I loved him. He was a great route runner. He was always reliable, because if you look at, you know, when we were successful on the field, a lot of us, that success was coming from Frank Wycheck, because if you look at the years where Steve McNair would struggle, the safety valve was Frank Wycheck. I know a lot of receivers didn't catch a lot of balls, but the good thing about the whole situation is he had a reliable tight end, and that was, you know, Frank Wycheck. But one of the moments that I want to kind of, you know, highlight, I know it's kind of funny, but I want to make this a positive thing. But I remember we were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you know, he caught a touchdown pass, and, you know, Frank Wycheck in practice, he always thought he could dance, but he really couldn't. So he gets in there, he catches a touchdown, and he does a Macarena. And I'm like, man, don't you ever do that again. We know for a fact that you have zero rhythm. And it just takes me back to that and just shows you the kind of player he was, but also the type of man he was, that he enjoyed every single moment of just playing football and being around his teammates.
We're talking to our good friend Chris Sanders, who played with Frank Wycheck for many years. Chris, when Dwight Clark passed away, he played with the 49ers and Joe Montana. Joe Montana said, what the public sees is only sees us on Sunday, 1% of our relationship. They don't see the practice, the locker room, the off the property things doing together. I got to imagine you have so much more memories with Frank beyond the football field.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and the thing about it is we built a bond. And when I say we built a bond, not just me, but with Derek Mason, you know, Eddie George, Steve McNair, that we came, when we were in Houston, we came to a situation in Nashville to where when we went to Memphis, it was a struggle. I mean, we were staying in, you know, trailer homes, and we were the laughing stock of the NFL. So when you have a lot of guys that are going through trials and tribulations, the tears, the two-a-days, the three-a-days, and you build a relationship with them when all the odds against you, it means so much. And I remember a situation where we were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers again, And I remember when he got hit really hard and his face was really, really red. And and they were trying to get him out of the game. Like, you know, Frank, you got to get out of here. You're not doing well because, you know, his head was hurting. And he said this. He said, man, I got to stay in the game because my team needs me. I mean, that's the kind of cat that you're talking about. And a lot of times we just celebrate the football player as opposed to celebrating the man. And we I'm talking about me. We got to get better in that. I mean, that's why, you know, when I see Derek Mason on the show or I see like a Kevin Dyson or Eddie George, I just try to make sure I tell them that I love them, not just because it's corny and cliché-ish, but you never know when your last day is going to be here. And I think that we got to make sure that your relationships that you have, that you take the time out to tell them that you love them. I mean, that's how I put it in perspective.
What did it say about so many years that Frank led your football team in receptions and touchdowns and everything as a tight end?
As a tight end. I mean, it just shows you, I guess the receivers wasn't pretty good. I mean, but you know,
81 was pretty good.
81, but you know what's so wild about that, and I said a little earlier, is he was very reliable. I mean, he was a reliable tight end. He wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the most athletic, but he was consistently getting open. And we always talk about, you know, if a running back throws a touchdown pass or a tight end touchdown pass. I think Frank Wycheck threw two touchdown passes. I think one to Drew Bennett when he played. So, you know, he was just a versatile player. He can get open. He can run the choice routes. He wasn't going to run by you because it took him 9 days to get there. But when he gets there, he's going to make some plays. But just a guy that's just fun to be around. And just watch him when we do walkthroughs, you know, on Saturdays, where he's acting silly with Bruce Matthews and in the defense, and just a fun-loving guy. And I think that, man, it's just like, You hear all that stuff, but then in a matter of a moment, it's gone. And he's 52 years old, and it's over. I mean, just think about that. Right now, as opposed to him physically being here, we're talking about memories. I don't want to talk about memories. I want to talk about me looking him in his face to tell him I appreciated him. And I never had a chance to do that. I never had a chance to do that with Josh Evans, and I never had a chance to do that with Steve McNair. So it just brings back a lot of things, a lot of emotions of making sure that, you know, the football players that I play with, not just football players, but just people in general, to say, man, dude, I love you. D-Mace, how you doing, man? I love you, brother. Hey, Jared Stillman, who I argue with all the time, I love you, brother. Chase, Joe, I love you. Take the time out to yes, a sad moment, but take this time out to learn and say, you know, to the most important people that you care. So I didn't mean to get on my soapbox, but just throw a little nugget in that situation.
No, amen to that. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, is with us. And, you know, and just appreciate you coming on to talk about Frank. I do want to ask you a couple of football questions.
Sure.
We were just talking about the play yesterday in the Kansas City and Buffalo game. Having played receiver, what is the process when you line up? You're looking at the official and you're saying, I'm on, or I'm off, or whatever. That they and the officials talked about that they will give a warning if they feel a guy is offsides, unless it's egregious offside, like it was for him. For him, it was too egregious.
He was offsides by a mile. I mean, he was. Now, you just made a good point to where if I'm a receiver, I let the ref know, and he's going to tell you you're on and you're off. But if you look at the whole situation, he never pointed at he never looked at the ref. The ref would have told him, get back, scoot back, but the ref has to call that. I know everybody's like, oh, it's a big game and you don't call it. But we always talk about this, have integrity. Let's have integrity in the game. Is it integrity because we don't use integrity because he's a star football player? Or the quarterback's a star football player? No. If I'm a ref, I'm going to call it. All he had to do, Tony, was look at the ref and say, point his fist forward. That means I'm on. Or point his fist back. That means I'm off. He never did that gesture, and he was offsides by a mile.
Yeah, he was. They got it right.
By a mile.
You know, he can complain all he wants. But what do you think about 11 offside calls on offense have been made this year, which is, I believe, the most ever?
Yeah, I mean, you, if I'm a ref, if we talk about using integrity, because you got to remember that a lot, and I never ever put down a ref that, yes, refs make a bad call, but at the end of the day, they're still trying to do right. So if they're calling that's what they see. And if there's 11 offsides, that means there's something that's actually happened. It has to be, especially as a wide receiver, and you're having an offsides, that's not a ref problem. That's a discipline problem. And I think that, you know, I know they call in 11 of them, but they're not going to call it. Even if it's close, even if it's, he's a little bit over the line, they're not going to call it. But if it's grievance and if you can actually see it, then they got to call it. So I know a lot of people complain, let the players know. If we're going to use integrity, then use integrity.
You coach receivers. You make sure your receivers check in all the time?
Yes, 100%. And that's funny that you say that, because when I practice, when they run out the huddle, and you can ask my head coach, Coach Uvarock, because he'll get on me about that. I say, make sure you talk to the ref. Make sure you let the ref know. Because if I'm telling you that and then you get into the game and you're not doing it, that's not the ref's fault. That's your fault. And the thing about it is, when they do that, the head coach is going to let me know, and then he's going to let the player know. But as a coach, I got to make sure that every day he hears me say that, so he don't make those mistakes in the game.
Kadarius Toney's played this league for a while. I mean, this shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, you're right. It shouldn't have happened. And I think sometimes where the game is going so fast and we got a lineup and you're doing hurry-up offense, these are some of the problems that you're going to run to. When you got 5 seconds left on the clock, say you got 15 seconds left on the clock, you're trying to make sure, okay, I got to get on the ball. But in a situation like that, you got to say, okay, let me slow down. Let the game come to me. I know we're in a big motion, in a big situation. But the first thing I got to do is I got to make sure I line up right. I got to line up right. So now if I line up right, now I can get to my route and make the play. It's not a ref's fault. It's not a coach's fault. It's the player not being disciplined and understanding what the heck is going on.
We had a guy earlier said that, you know, don't feel sorry for the Chiefs. They said two more downs, they could have gone down the field and scored, whatever. What's it like when you have a touchdown like that late in the game, you're feeling good about yourself, and then realize it's a penalty, you got to bring it back? I don't think it's easy to go right back and do a play in the next 30 seconds.
Yeah, it is tough, but I think that you really got to focus. I think as a quarterback, you know, he's got to talk and huddle about, you know, situation football. Just, okay, make sure you get out of bounds, make sure you do the right thing to get you back focused. But as a football player, I learned that in practice, because the coaches are going to put me in a situation to where we got to get on the ball, we got to do this, we got to stay focused, you know, and make sure we do it in the game. So I think that they got to make sure overall that they do it in practice so it spills over in the game.
All right, Chris, Monday Night Football tonight, a big one for the Titans against a very dynamic offense in the Miami Dolphins. I know you're going to be on the pregame show with Jared and Derek, but how do you feel this one is going to shake out?
I'm a little nervous, and the reason why I'm a little nervous is because you got Simmons out, you got a lot of key guys out. I think Fulton might be out. And then you got a situation where you got some explosive wide receivers. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Waddle. You got a running back. You got tight ends. You got a quarterback that's playing at a high level. You got a defense that's sacking a quarterback, that sacked a quarterback 41 times. So, you know, it's going to be a hard test. But the one thing that I still got in the back of my mind, this is Mike Vrabel's territory. Because if you look at a couple of years ago, he was in the same situation, offensive line now, receivers are out and all this stuff, but he found a way to win. If they can just weather the storm, I think they can try to stay in the game. But if Tyreek gets the football and Waddle gets the ball, it's going to be a long day for the Tennessee Titans.
That is for sure. Chris, we'll be listening this afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday. And, hey, we love you, man. I appreciate everything you do.
I love you guys so much. I appreciate you guys. Love you.
Absolutely. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. And again, you can catch him, Derek Mason, and Jared Stillman this afternoon, 4 to 6, for the NFL pregame show live at the Twin Peaks in Madison. We're live in Miami today. We'll give our final thoughts on the Titans and the Dolphins tonight, plus celebrity birthdays. That's all next. Chase and Big Joe in Miami, 102.5, 106.3, the game.